Congress left town ignoring the Obama administration's request for more funding to deal with illegal immigration. Dana Lee Marks is president of the National Association of Immigration Judges and an immigration judge herself in San Francisco. Now, when we spoke with her in June at the peak of the surge across the southern border, she described her work as handling death penalty cases with traffic court resources. So we called her up recently to check in.
It has only gotten worse. The pressures have only risen. The caseloads have risen. The backlogs have risen. And we still did not get any additional funds or any additional judges as yet.
So describe what your day is like. I mean, do you feel this in San Francisco, or is this mostly a change that's felt closer to the southern border?
That's one of the interesting things, is that it starts at the border, but those cases generally do not stay there. Everywhere across the country, in all 59 immigration courts, we are definitely feeling the pressure of the increased caseload. When I talked to you in June, the caseload was at about 375,000 pending cases. At the end of August of this year, we were up to 408,000 pending cases.
And that's nationwide. And is the burden spread pretty evenly throughout the nation, or is it mostly concentrated in certain areas?
It is concentrated in areas where immigrant populations are located, but those are also, generally speaking, the larger immigration courts as well. But the backlogs vary tremendously because the number of judges are not evenly allocated. So, ironically, for example, the longest waiting time in our system is in Nebraska. I don't know the statistics of how many cases they have overall relative to the rest of the system, but they obviously don't have the judge capacity they need to hear the cases. Those pending cases are lasting on average 803 days before they're resolved. The nationwide average, however, is 567 days.
Wow.
Now, those are for cases where people are not in immigration custody.
Right, right. But that's about 2 years. Now, is the jump between when we spoke earlier this summer and now of about 30,000 plus more cases, can we attribute that to the surge in unaccompanied children that came across the border earlier this year?
You know, I haven't seen a breakdown of exactly how many cases of the recent increase can be attributed to juvenile cases. But overall, as of June, for example, the juvenile cases were only 11% of our pending backlog. But of the increases, even if all of them were juveniles, which I doubt they were, they still are a very small proportion of our overall caseload.
What has happened to those particular cases? Are they, in essence, sort of jumping the line so you address those first? Or are they getting back in the back of the line and having to wait for years?
Right. The administration made a determination that the best way to handle the juvenile cases was to move them to the front of the line. So what is happening is if a case is from the recent border surge of and is an unaccompanied minor or even an adult with children or a recent border crosser, those cases now have been prioritized and are moving to the front of the line. So they're brought to court within 21 to 28 days. That's a big change. For example, for me in San Francisco, cases that came into the system would usually have to wait 15 months before they would get their first hearing before me. But if they are one of the border surge cases, as they are being called, those cases will come within 21 to 28 days onto the first hearing.
So what was it like in your courtroom and your offices when this switch was made? Did people have to stop whatever they were doing and then just start over with these new cases and push those other ones back months?
Yes, it's exactly what's happening. It's causing quite a bit of disarray in the courts. Cases that have been pending on my docket for 3 or 4 or sometimes even 5 years are being moved to make room for the new arrivals. And those other cases go off calendar and are now in a sort of limbo. We don't know when we will be able to put them back on the calendar and schedule hearings. It depends a lot on Congress and what resources they're willing to give us.
And with regards to the ones that you've been told to deal with in less than a month, are the courts able to do that, in fact?
Well, at the cost of those other pending cases, we are clearing space on the docket. Now, when it means when we're asked, rather, to have a case put on the docket within 21 to 28 days, it does not mean that it's finished on that first hearing. Very often that first hearing is like an arraignment hearing in other courts where you try to find out what preparation needs to be done for the case to be ready to go to trial. You also need, in these cases, to find out whether people are represented by counsel, and very often they are not. And since there's no right to appointed counsel in immigration proceedings, it may end up taking people a bit longer than it has in the past to find volunteer or low-fee attorneys who are willing to help them because the need is so great and the volunteer attorneys are scrambling to try to organize to be able to meet the need as well.
So even though you're starting the cases very quickly, these could also drag on for months.
That is correct. Absolutely correct. We're very encouraged by the fact that the city of San Francisco, for one, the city of New York, for another, has allocated funds to try to help support volunteer efforts in the courts to give nonprofit organizations the resources they need to help people get lawyers. But we realize it's not going to be an overnight process.
We're speaking with Dana Lee Marks. She's president of the National Association of Immigration Judges, and she's also an immigration judge herself in San Francisco. Now, you've spoken about two cities, but what about Washington? We know that Congress has not funded more resources for you. Has the administration been able to shuffle around any sort of funding or resources so that your assets are also bolstered as your caseload surge?
Not that we're aware of. It had been in the pipeline prior to this that we were going to be given more judicial law clerk support. That had been put in the budget prior to any of this happening. So we are very encouraged and appreciative of those efforts by the department. But basically, there's been very little infusion of additional resources from the greater Department of Justice or reshuffling of resources that we can see. And in fact, these border cases are creating additional expenses to the immigration courts because judges from other locations are being assigned to travel to the border to try to help cover the backlog there so those cases can move through the process swiftly, especially if individuals are detained, which has always been our high priority because not only is it difficult for the individuals to be detained, but it's costly to the American public.
And is that still going on now in September? I mean, we know that the surge has quieted down.
Yes, it is still going on for the foreseeable future because cases take a while to be processed through our system. So we don't know whether the cooler months of the fall will bring a higher number of people coming to our borders again. That's one speculation that I have heard, that there's always a dip in the summer months. Other people are hopeful that the efforts of our neighboring countries to help stop people from coming have been successful. But regardless of whether the surge is lessened over time, we still have this tremendous backlog that has been building for years. And that's why the association has been crying out for years for additional resources and for structural reorganization so that hopefully we do better long-term planning to be ready for situations like this, which do occur periodically.
I've heard that you've also called for perhaps an alternative, it seems like a drastic change, but an alternative court system as a more sustainable solution. What do you see as a long-term fix for this persistent backlog of cases?
That is correct. The association for more than 10 years has been calling for structural reform of the immigration courts, which would take the courts outside the Department of Justice and structure them as an independent court system under Article 1 of the Constitution. That would give their legal structure something more like the tax courts or the Veterans Courts of Claims. Admittedly, that's very technical, but we believe that the bottom line that the public can clearly understand is that most people don't believe that having a neutral court be located in a law enforcement agency is the proper fit. And going all the way back to where we started when you said we do death penalty cases in a traffic court setting, the stakes have become so high for the individuals who are brought before us in the immigration courts that this assurance of independence and neutrality is absolutely essential. And in terms of the length of time that cases remain in our system overall, we believe that this structural change would improve the system because we believe people would have more faith in the system and there would be less appeals and cases would go more smoothly. And we're not alone in this belief. The American Bar Association has endorsed the concept, the Federal Bar Association. These are major, large, prestigious legal organizations who support our thinking on this as well.
And what would the Justice Department say, or what has the Justice Department said?
Well, the Justice Department, of course, says that they're doing what needs to be done in the current structure, and why bother to change? I think it's pretty hard for you ever to get someone to admit that the job couldn't be done better by someone else. That's not a very easy thing to get an agency to admit.